believe it or not, we are already in the season of Elul and Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Yom HaKippurim, and obviously what we all need to start thinking about is the Tshuva process. Tonight's Divrei Torah should be as a Iloy HaNeshama from Menachem Yitzchak Ben Yaakov Yisrael, whose seventh yard site is this week. I knew him quite well. He was the father of Mr. Henry Orlinsky, and he was a very, very special person, a Holocaust survivor, who is a very gentle and humble man, but I have very fond memories from the times that I spent with him, and I hope that our Divrei Torah should be a Iloy HaNeshama for a great tzaddik that he was. So as we enter into the season of Elul and Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tshuva, I thought to focus on a topic that to me is very relevant. Unfortunately, I am pretty deficient every so often in my areas of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And that means that when Yom Kippur comes around, when the Tshuva process begins, I have to start thinking about not only the mitzvah Shebein Adam L'Makom, but also the mitzvah Shebein Adam L'Chaveiro. So it just got me curious to look into how I should properly rectify those mistakes that I've made in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, and that's what I'd like to study together tonight. The Rambam that we begin with is in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva, which is the best place to start from the very beginning. So the Rambam says as follows, Kol mitzvah sheba Torah, all mitzvahs that one finds in the Torah, ben asei, ben lo sasei, whether we're dealing with a positive commandment, a mitzvah sasei, or we're dealing with a lo sasei, im aver adam alachas mehem, if a person violates either an asei or a lo sasei, ben bizadon, ben bishkaga, whether you violate it intentionally or you violate it mistakenly, inadvertently, kisha yasa tshuva, says the Rambam, when you go through the process of tshuva to rectify that which you have done wrong, v'yashuv mecheto, then he says, chayev lehisvados lefnei Hashem. When you go through the tshuva process, you have an obligation to say the vidui and to express that which you have done wrong. And the Rambam then says, vidui zeh mitzvah saseh, this notion of saying vidui, of actually saying what it is that I've done wrong, charata, that is a mitzvah saseh. So the Acharonim are very troubled by the formulation of this Rambam. If you look carefully, the Rambam never says that we have an obligation to do tshuva. All the Rambam says is, when a person is engaged in the process of tshuva, you then have an obligation to say vidui. But what about the most fundamental aspect? What about the fact that I have to do the tshuva in the first place? The Rambam doesn't seem to say that I have a mitzvah ha-tshuva. This is the question of the Minchas Chinuch, a mitzvah shin samach dalet, and the Minchas Chinuch comes to a shocking conclusion, where he says that the mitzvah of tshuva is not an absolute chiyuv. The mitzvah of tshuva is what we refer to as a mitzvah kiyumis, which means it's optional. If you engage in the mitzvah of tshuva, then you get points, then you've done the right thing. If you don't engage in the mitzvah of tshuva, then, says the Minchas Chinuch, you have not been mevatel an asei, you just have not fulfilled a mitzvah asei that you had the opportunity to do, should you have taken advantage of that opportunity. So says the Minchas Chinuch, that's why the Rambam here never says you have an obligation to be involved in the mitzvah of tshuva, because there is no mitzvah of tshuva. If you decide to do the mitzvah of tshuva, then the Rambam says this is how you do it. You say vidui and you go through all the process and the steps. But there is no basic fundamental obligation for a person to be involved in tshuva. And Rav Soloveitchik in the Sefer Al HaTshuva thinks that this is something that needs to be completely rejected. Rav Soloveitchik there quotes from his father, who quoted from his grandfather, from the Beis Halevi, that this is something that we absolutely cannot accept. After all, says Rav Soloveitchik, how many times in the Torah do we have a pasuk which instructs us about the mitzvah of tshuva? For example, in Sefer Dvarim, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha v'shamata b'kolo. Once again in Sefer Dvarim, v'hashevosa el levavecha v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. Once again, we have it over and over again. The Torah tells us you have a mitzvah to come back, to return to the Ribono Shel Olam, to do tshuva. So how can the Minchas Chinuch dare say, says Rav Soloveitchik, how can the Minchas Chinuch dare say that there's no mitzvah of tshuva when we have so many indications in the psukim themselves that the mitzvah of tshuva is an absolute mitzvah like every other mitzvah that we have an obligation to fulfill? So the Rav Soloveitchik there writes in the Sefer Al HaTshuva, he quotes from the Avodas HaMelech, that perhaps the answer is as follows. Maybe really the Minchas Chinuch is correct, that there is no mitzvah of tshuva. We have all these psukim, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, v'shamata v'kolo, and everything else of that nature. Says of Soloveitchik, maybe that just means it as a havtacha, that you have an assurance, you have a promise that at some point down the line, the Jewish people are going to be shoved b'tshuva. They're going to go through the process of tshuva, but that does not mean that we have an obligation to do so. All the pasuk means to say is You should know, the Navi Moshe Rabbeinu tells us that there's going to come a time when the Jewish people as a nation will be involved in the mitzvah of tshuva. But Rav Soloveitchik said that is impossible to accept. Although it's a nice interpretation, he says it is impossible to accept because after all, the Rambam himself writes, Kol Hanaviim Kulam, the Rambam is in Perek Zayin of Ilchas Tshuva, where he says, Kol Hanaviim Kulam, Sivu Al HaTshuva, the Nevi'im instructed us to do tshuva. And you look through the Nevi'im and you find one Navi after another warns the Jewish people they have to do tshuva. How can they warn them to do tshuva if tshuva is not even a mitzvah? And therefore, Rav Soloveitchik says, not only because the Rambam says, Kol Hanaviim Nisnavu, but also the Rambam himself in the Ramazim. It's not clear exactly what the Ramazim are. Right before every halacha that the Rambam begins, he gives us some sort of way to remember which halachas are going to be discussed here. So the Rambam here in the Ramazim, in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, writes, Yesh mitzvah ba'asiyas ha-tshuva. The Rambam is pretty clear that we have an obligation to do tshuva. So which leads us back to the original question. If you look back at the Rambam that we began with, one has to wonder, it's a glaring omission, when the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, in Hilchos Tshuva, tells us what we need to do, all the Rambam says is, when we are engaged in the act of tshuva, we have to make sure to say vidui. That is a critical component of the tshuva process. But the Rambam is missing the most basic and fundamental point of the whole perek, and that is, one has an obligation to do tshuva in the first place. How did he leave that out if that is what's most important, and that seemingly should be more fundamental than the vidui process? Explains Rav Soloveitchik as follows, and he has a very novel interpretation to explain this Rambam, which gets him into a discussion about the nature of all mitzvahs that we perform throughout the year. Says Rav Soloveitchik, we have two different mitzvahs, two different categories of mitzvahs that we perform throughout our experience as Jews. Number one, he says, we have the basic performance of a mitzvah, which is, I am instructed to blow the shofar, I am instructed to shake the lulav, I am instructed to put on tefillin. All of those are very simple acts. Ulakachtem lachem ayom arishon. The Torah asks me to take this item, to shake it around on the first day of Sukkot. As long as I have done that, I have fulfilled my obligation. Says Rav Soloveitchik, that is the basic general category of mitzvahs that we are expected to perform. You're asked to do an activity. After you do that, you have fulfilled the mitzvah. However, writes Rav Soloveitchik, we have a second category of mitzvahs, which is entirely different from the first. And here he famously describes, to try and accentuate the point, he describes the mitzvah of Simchas Yamtiv, says Rav Soloveitchik. In the days of the Beis Hamikdash, the Gemara says clearly, we had very strict guidelines for how to observe the mitzvah of Simchas Yamtiv. Very definitive acts that had to be done. For example, you have to eat basar shlamim, you have to bring a carbon in the Beis Hamikdash, you have to eat the meat, you have to drink wine, and the Gemara goes through the whole discussion about how exactly to perform the mitzvah of Simchas Yamtiv. However, that is not the end result. The end result is that you have a mitzvah that you have to feel a sense of simcha. And the Torah is just prescribing a way to get a person in the proper frame of mind, in the proper mood and mindset, to be able to enjoy the simcha of Yamtiv. So the objective and the goal in the end of the day is not in particular to the act. The act that the Torah says I have to do is, you have to eat meat, you have to drink wine. But that's just the lead up to the mitzvah itself. The real mitzvah is that a person should feel a sense of satisfaction, a sense of simcha, and this should encourage them by eating the meat, by drinking the wine, that will encourage them to fulfill the mitzvah later on. Said Rav Soloveitchik, that's an entirely different category of mitzvahs. That's not a mitzvah like lulav, where you're asked just to pick up the lulav, and immediately upon doing that activity, you have fulfilled your obligation. No. Here you have to do certain prescribed acts, and after doing so, we hope that it will lead you to the performance of the real mitzvah, which is to feel a sense of Simchas Yamtiv. Similarly, Rav Soloveitchik writes, this is really the way to understand the mitzvah of Avelus. So we have very particular ways in which an Avel is supposed to behave. So an Avel is not allowed to wear shoes, and we know that an Avel doesn't sit on a high chair, he sits on the floor. And we know that an Avel does not bathe himself, he doesn't shower. And we know that an Avel is not allowed to wear tefillin the first day. All of these different things, says Rav Soloveitchik, is that really the mitzvah of Nihugi Avelus? No. Those are just the activities that the Torah describes for us, that by doing so you will put yourself in a frame of mind which is Avelus, which is Avel. The objective here really is that a person should feel a sense of Avelus. And by doing all of these acts, that will lead you to the sensitivity that you're supposed to have at this time of your life. But therefore, says Rav Soloveitchik, this is a very different category of mitzvahs, where you have an act that you're expected to perform, but the fulfillment of the mitzvah will not happen until later on when the feeling actually sets in. And along those lines, Rav Soloveitchik says, maybe that's what it means when we have a mitzvah of tshuva. Yes, it's true. The activity, the action that you are expected to do is vidui. You have to klap al chait, you have to say, I'm sorry, you have to do all the things that the Rambam is going to describe in Hilchos Tshuva. Those are synonymous too. Sitting on the floor like an avel, not showering when you're in avelas, eating basar when you're in Simchas Yamtif. All those different things are just the act that we expect of you to do in order to get you into the frame of mind. But the real kiyum ha-mitzvah, the fulfillment of the mitzvah of tshuva happens as a kiyum shebalev, when a person in their heart feels a sense of remorse, a sense of regret. And therefore says the Rambam, how can the Torah instruct me to go and feel a kiyum shebalev? All the Torah can instruct me to do is an activity. So the Torah says, dividui, you should say whatever you have to say, you should bang whatever you have to bang, you should speak to whoever you have to speak to. However, all of that is supposed to lead you to something which is far deeper, which is a sense of tshuva, which is a sense of remorse, a kiyum shebalev. And therefore, says Rav Soloveitchik, that's why the Rambam never instructs us in particular to be engaged in the mitzvah of tshuva. Because obviously that's the fulfillment, but the Rambam says that the Torah only instructs us to do the act, and by doing that act, we hope that it will lead us to the fulfillment of the mitzvah by having that kiyum shebalev, by having that feeling in our hearts of being shav b'tshuva, of remorse and of regret, and a sense of pain for that which we've done wrong. This is really something that dates back to a Gemara in Maseches Tainis. I forgot to put it on here, but the Gemara says in Daf Tazayin, Adam sheyesh biyado aveiro umisvade. Let's say you have a person who has an aveira that they still haven't taken care of, umisvade. And while I still have that aveira on my head, on my shoulders, I go ahead and I say vidui. Ve'eino chozerbo. And now the Gemara says, I have not really done tshuva for the aveira that I did. So I'm saying vidui all I want, but in the end of the day, I have not done tshuva. Lemahu doma, asked the Gemara, what are you compared to? La adam shetofetz sheretz biyado, a person who's holding a dead rodent in their hand, which obviously is going to render me a tameh. And now, while holding this dead sheretz in my hand, I go into the mikveh. So what have you accomplished? You go into the mikveh and you become tameh immediately once again. You're holding it in your hand. So says the Rambam, says the Gemara, that's the same thing. A person who does vidui, who goes through all the steps, but you still do the avera, obviously you have nothing from that. Says Rashi, this Gemara's mashal is limited, it's very specific to one case. We're talking about a person who feels terrible about the fact that they cheated or that they stole money from somebody else. So instead of actually giving back the money, I still have the money sitting in my wallet, I still have the money at home, instead of giving it back, I go and I say, I'm so sorry, I stole from you, I didn't do the right thing. Give me back the money, says the Rashi. If you don't give me back the money, you can clap al chait all you want, you can say you're sorry all you want, but as long as the money's still in your rishus, in your property, you have not accomplished anything. And therefore, says the Gemara, that is like a tovel v'sheretz v'yado. That's the way Rashi understands the Gemara. However, the Rambam, perhaps the Shitaso, the Rambam writes in Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel, of Hilchos Tshuva. In explaining that Gemara, the Rambam says it's referring to every Baal Tshuva. Everybody who's involved in the act of Tshuva, says the Rambam. Kol ha-misvadeh b'dvarim. Anybody who says the words, who goes through the motion, who says vidui, who claps al chait, V'lo gamar b'libo lazov. Again, anybody who goes through the act of tshuva, but ultimately, lo gamar b'libo lazov, I have not decided, I have not felt the sensitivity in my heart that I really want to feel remorseful for what it is that I did, says the Rambam, in such a case, ha'reiz edom eletovo v'sheretz v'yado. The Rambam understands that there's a greater context to the mitzvah of tshuva. The mitzvah, yes, it's true. All the activity that you have to do is just klap al chait, say vidui, be remorseful, talk to the people that have to be spoken to. However, says the Rambam, that is not the fulfillment of the mitzvah. If you have not been at all impacted by the process of tshuva, if it hasn't become a kiyum shebalev, says the Rambam, if you don't really have a gmar belibo lazo, you don't really feel in the depths of your heart that I feel so sorry for what it is that I did, then says the Rambam, that's like a tovel v'sheretz v'yado. And it fits very beautifully with the interpretation of Rav Soloveitchik, that tshuva is not just the activity itself. It's not just the action that the Torah expects of us to do. There's a greater context to the whole parsha of tshuva. And this is why the Rambam says, the way he formulates Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam takes it as a given, that we have to obviously be engaged in the mitzvah of tshuva, but the way to get ourselves in that frame of mind, in that mode, is when you say vidui, is when you recount the averus that you've done, is when you make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, and when you understand that there are things that need to be repaired in your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with other human beings as well. We have a very interesting idea, and that is based on a Mishnah Maseches Yuma. So the Mishnah writes in Maseches Yuma, which is number Beis, Ki bayom hazeh yichaper aleichem mikol chatoseichem lefnei Hashem titaru. That's obviously a reference that the Torah gives to Yom HaKippurim. Ki bayom hazeh, on this day, yichaper aleichem, you will have the ultimate kapara and the ultimate tahara. Says the Mishnah, commenting on that pasuk, Aveiro shebein adam lamakom, when somebody violates an Aveiro, which is bein adam lamakom, Yom HaKippur mechaper. Then we assume that Yom Kippur is able to atone for that sin. Aveiro shebein adam lachaveiro. What if I violated an Aveiro that's between me and another human being? Ein Yom HaKippur mechaper ad sheiratza es chaveiro. Yom Kippur is not going to help you unless you actually go and make up with your friend. But if you don't go through that phase of the tshuva process, then a bein adam lachaveiro dika aveira is not going to be absolved by experiencing a Yom Kippur. And the Mechaber quotes the same thing in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, Simen Taf Reish Vav, number Gimel, the Mechaber writes, Aveira shebein adam lachaveiro, ein Yom HaKippur mechaper. If a person has an aveira that they have to take care of, which is bein adam lachaveiro in its nature, Yom Kippur cannot absolve you of that aveira. Ad sheyifaisenu, until you go and you make up with that person. Afilu lo iknitu ela bidvarim, even if all you did was you bothered somebody, not that you caused them any damage, but if you just bothered them and you caused them agbas nefesh, that too, says the Shulchan Aruch, tzarech lefaiso, I have an obligation to be mefayis, to make up with that person, and that is the only way that I can have a proper tshuva process for the avera that I have violated. Now, what's interesting is, if you look at the Mishnah carefully, and you look at the way that the Mechaber quotes it, it seems clear. What if I do one without the other in the opposite direction? What if I only go to my friend and ask him for his forgiveness, but I feel that since it's an Aveira Shebein Adam LaChaveira, since it's between me and another human being, this has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. Why should it be connected at all to Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is for my problems that I have between me and God. When I have a problem Bein Adam LaChaveira, that's between me and my friend. As long as I took care of my issue with him, why do I have to be concerned anymore? Says the Mishnah, no, you need both. You need both. And why is that the case? Why should we assume that you need both to go ahead and have that component of speaking with your friend and making up with them, and at the same time experiencing a Yom HaKippurim as well? And the answer is very simple. The Rush writes in his commentary on Mishnayos that the Ribono Shel Olam chafetz yoser b'mitzvah sheyaseh bahem ratzon habrios mi'mitzvah shebein adam lakono. If I have an option, says the Rush, to either accomplish a mitzvah which is bein adam lachaveiro, or I have an option to do a mitzvah which is bein adam lamakom. Which one should I choose to do? Which one will give more nachas ruach to the Ribono Shel Olam? If I do a mitzvah for him, or I do a mitzvah which is relating to other human beings? Says the Rush, a mitzvah shebein adam lachaveiro is more powerful than a mitzvah shebein adam lamakom. The Rush doesn't explain why that should be the case. So Rabbi Chanan Wasserman writes in the Kovetz Ma'amarim that the reason why this is true is because we know that when a person performs a mitzvah shebein adam lamakom, that's just between you and God. But when you perform a mitzvah shebein adam lachaveiro, we assume, that's not only between you and your friend, that's between you and your friend and you and the Ribono Shel Olam. Like the Minchas Chinuch has a discussion. How would you categorize the mitzvah of kibud av va'em? I have an obligation to honor and respect my parents. Is that a mitzvah shebein adam lamakom or a mitzvah shebein adam lachaveiro? Which one is it? The answer is it's both. Because I respect my parents because that's a mitzvah, that's an obligation that any human being should feel they have toward their parents for all the gratitude that we owe our parents. At the same time, when I respect my parents, I am also listening to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who instructed me to respect my parents and to honor them and to give them the dignity that they deserve. And therefore we assume whenever you perform a mitzvah, shebein adam lachaveiro, you are not only performing something that is helpful to another human being, but you are also doing something that is very meaningful to the Ribono Shel Olam himself. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, in yazik adam es chaveiro, in the inverse, If a person damages their friend, if a person does something negative to another human being, ein lo lachshov ki alav chata, don't think that you're only hurting your friend. Rather, you should realize ki gam laHashem chata. You should realize when you speak lashon hara about another person, you are not only doing something against that other human being, but you are also hurting the Ribono Shel Olam. V'hu toveya es ahezik kebal din, says Rabbeinu Yonah. The Ribono Shel Olam will have a claim against you as if you personally offended him. Even though you'll say, what does that have to do with him? I was only engaged with another human being. Why should God get involved here? The answer is no. And that's really what the Mishnah means here when it says, on Yom Kippur we have to understand that we have a multifaceted obligation. It's not just that we have an obligation for mitzvah shebein adam lamakom. We also have an obligation for mitzvos shebein adam lachaveiro. And even if you went to your friend, which by the way, when you go on Erev Yom Kippur and people run around and say, are you mochelmi, this and that, and all the text messages, it's meaningless. That's not a mechila. It's not asking for a mechila. That's not vidui. That's not tshuva. It's just a waste of everybody's time. And I think we can be spending our time far more wisely on Erev Yom Kippur, thinking about at least one person that we really hurt. We've at least hurt one person over the year, I would imagine. I'm not the only one who feels that way. I've hurt at least one person over the past year. Think seriously, instead of trying to text the whole world, think seriously about one individual that you can maybe do something to be marbe shalom, one person who you've actually hurt in a significant way this year, and think about this Erev Yom Kippur, how am I going to make up with that person? My tshuva will be something special in Bein Adam LaChaveru if I actually make that a meaningful conversation, a meaningful discussion. I go over to the individual and I tell them, I'm sorry, I hurt you, this is what I did, this is how I hurt you, this is why I feel bad about it, I will try not to do it again, I would like to be friends once again, I want to repair the relationship. That is a meaningful way to spend on Erev Yom Kippur instead of doing it the way that so many have become accustomed to doing. But therefore we learn that it's not only something that's relevant between me and another human being, but rather the Mishnah says, and the Mechaber quotes this as well, Yom Kippur is a crucial part of that process as well. Because we assume that every time you violate an Avera Shebein Adam Lachaveiro, you are also doing something that is negative to the Ribono Shel Olam himself, like Rabbeinu Yonah says, Hu toveya es ha-hezik kebal din. The Ribono Shel Olam will hold you responsible as if you have personally offended him. And therefore we have Yom Kippur as an opportunity not only to repair our relationship with Mitzvah Shebein Adam Lamakom, but also as an opportunity to do the Mitzvah Shebein Adam Lachaveiro. Look at the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tav Reish Zayin, in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, where he writes, Avonos Shehesvada Aleihem B'Yom HaKippurim She'avar. Let's say last Yom Kippur, I feel like I got some Averis out of the way. You know, last year I was in a restaurant, I didn't check before, I ate something that was not really kosher, the hashgacha wasn't good, whatever it may have been, something came into my house, I shouldn't have eaten it, I shouldn't have done it. I did an Averis. I took care of it last Yom Kippur, and I did a real sincere tshuva. Now, a year passes, v'lo shana aleihem, which is unusual. You did an Avera, you did tshuva for it, and I actually did tshuva the right way. And I have not violated the Avera in the course of the entire year since last Yom Kippur. Amazing, you're a real Baal tshuva. Afilu hachi, says the Mechaber, even if you have that kind of experience, which means you're a great tzaddik, that means you're a real Baal tshuva, yachol lachzer ulehisvados aleihem. I still have the option to go back this year and ask for mechila for an avera that I did last year, that I took care of already. So how do you understand that? Why would you do that? If I took care of it, let's get it out of the way, let's move on to something new. Why should I bother this Yom Kippur worrying about something that I did last year? It's all behind me. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what do we mean? Af bein adam lachaveiro. Says the Mishnah Berurah, this is referring to even a person who violates a mitzvah shebein adam lachaveiro. For example, Ganav v'gazal u'chadome. A person goes and steals from his friend. And last year, Yom Kippur, I returned the stolen item. I asked for mechila. I say I made a mistake. I'm very sorry. I have remorse for what I did. Af al pi shem machalo, says the Mishnah Berurah. Even though last year my friend said, it's okay. I'm going to move on with life. I repair the relationship with you. I accept your tshuva. I took the money back. Mikol makam misvade v'yom ha-kippurim li'olam. I still have the opportunity to ask for forgiveness in the following year as well. Because I may have taken care of my friend, and that's behind us. But when I did something to him, when I stole money from him, I damaged not only him, but I damaged my relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam as well. The Ribono Shel Olam said, Lo signo, lo sigzo, The Ribbono Shel Olam said, we have all mitzvah shebenadam lachavero, but I was the one who instructed you to keep those. And when you violated them, it means you violated not only your trust that other human beings have in you and your relationship that they have developed with you, but it means that you violated as well the trust that I have built with you as well. And therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, that's what it means. In subsequent Yom HaKippurim, we assume it would be, it would make a lot of sense for a person in a subsequent Yom Kippur as well, even on a mitzvah shebein adam lachavero, to ask for mechila once again, even though you think it is behind you. It can, but there's always, meaning, there's always more that I can do to repair my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, I did a tshuva that was subpar. Maybe you didn't get the favor of the Ribbono Shel Olam to maximum, to 100% as it should be. So next Yom Kippur, you have the opportunity to do that once again, even for a mitzvah shebein adam lachaver. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. Obviously, Yom Kippur is the best time to do it. So there's a very fascinating Rambam. One avera that very many people violate is a mitzvah shebein adam lachavera of gezel. Unfortunately, we're not careful enough with other people's money. And unfortunately, we see that people take money from others that really is not deserving of them. And the Rambam writes in Ilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis, Halacha Tes, because we're not always so honest and we don't always do everything that is above board. So the Rambam addresses this and he says, Ein ha-tshuva v'lo yom ha-kippur mechaprim ela al avera shebein adam lamakom. Yom Kippur will only atone for an avera shebein adam lamakom kigon. Misha achal davar asur, somebody who ate machalas asuros, somebody who violated some other avera. Avol avera shebein adam lachavero, says the Rambam, if I violated an avera, which is bein adam lachavero, kigon hachov elas chavero, what does that mean? I hurt somebody. O hamekal elas chavero, I curse someone. O gozlo, or I steal from another person. O chayotze behem, eino nimchal lo leolam, says the Rambam, Yom Kippur will never help. Ad sheyitein lachavero mashehu chayiv lo v'yiratzehu. Until I go and give back the money that I owe him, or I pay back the damages that I caused him. Now says the Rambam, even if I go and run by his property, throw a $100 bill into his property because I know that's what I stole, that's not good enough, says the Rambam. That would not suffice. I have to go ahead, and after giving the money back, I have to ask him for forgiveness as well. This is what the Rambam says. You have a dual obligation. Number one, to repay whatever it is that you caused the damage to that person. So if it means chov v'chavero, I was in a parking lot and I scraped someone else's car and I said, what's the big deal? It is a big deal. When they give the lease back, they're going to have to pay for that. It could be 50 cents. I don't know about you. I don't want to come back as a Gilgal because of the 50 cents that I owe somebody for scraping their car in the parking lot of Gourmet Glot. I would prefer just to take care of it now. Says the Rambam, first thing we need to do is pay back those who we owe money to. Baseline. After we do that, we have not sufficiently fulfilled our obligation. We have a secondary obligation, which is we need to be meratza es chavero. And the problem is that if you look in the next Rambam, in number Hey, the Lecha Mishnah points out that the Rambam seems to contradict himself. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Chov Lemazik, there's a major distinction between if I am mazik, if I damage somebody's body, or if I steal somebody's money. Shahamazik mamon chavero, if I steal somebody's money, kiven sheshile mashu chayiv lo niskaprelo. Once I give back the money, that's good enough, and there's nothing more necessary in order to achieve a proper tshuva. So what do you mean, asked the Lecha Mishnah? The Rambam just told me that when I steal money from somebody, when I take money inappropriately that didn't really belong to me, I have to not only give the money back, that's half the story. I have to give it back, plus I have to ask mechila for what I did. And here all of a sudden, Chov LeMazik, the Rambam writes that I have only one obligation. If I steal money from someone, all I have to do is give the money back, and then niskaprelo, that's good enough. So this is an issue that the Lecha Mishnah raises, but basically what we see is when you take money from somebody else, one has an obligation to repay it, and the Rambam says not only to repay it, but in Hilchos Tshuva he writes you have to go and be meratze es chavero also. My father always says one has to be so careful if you work for a business, and that goes for any industry, you have to be careful that you don't take more than you're entitled to take. Sometimes, person, I don't know, give a very simple example. I work in a supermarket. So I feel I'm working with food anyway. I may as well go to the shelf and take something to eat for lunch, take something to eat for breakfast. It depends. What do they expect of you? What is the expectation of the employer? What is the expectation of the employee? Not always do you have a right to take things. My father always likes to say that Rav Kook was very makbid, that people who used to work as secretaries in offices, he never used to use them as an aide on a shtar, as an aide on a ksuba, as an aide on a chasana. Why? Because Rav Kook said, somebody who works in an office always takes an extra stamp, they always take an extra envelope, they take an extra paperclip, so they think, well, what's one more paperclip? What's a big deal? It's not worth anything. Anyway, one more envelope, no one's really going to mind. But Rav Kook said you have to be very careful, because that too is gzela. That too is considered to be taking something that you're not deserving of, taking something that does not belong to you. And one has to be very careful. Everybody understands it in their own way, but it's not good enough just to give the money back, says the Rambam. One has to also make sure that they ask mechila for doing so as well. So, when describing one who tries to attain mechila from others, the Gemara Maseches Yuma Daf Pei Zayin writes the following. And this is a very important Gemara because it really frames for us the whole process of tshuva and what it's supposed to mean. So the Gemara says a surprising comment. Yuma Daf Pei Zayin, this is number Vav on the sheet. Amar Rav Chisda. V'tzarech lefaiso b'sharos shuros shel shlosha b'nei adam. I have to try to make up with someone three different times. And the Gemara brings a pasuk for that. What does it mean? Amar Rav Yosi b'Rav Chanina. Kala mevakesh mechaveiro. If I ask for mechila for my friend, al yivakesh mimenu yoser mishalosh pa'amim. Let's say I really hurt somebody. For example, I went on Facebook and I went on a campaign to destroy somebody else's career. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. You have people who go on public blogs, go in newspapers, go on Facebook, social media, and they try and destroy another human being. And now later on, I remember, I will never forget, there is somebody, he will remain nameless, but I don't know what's with this person. He claims to be a rabbi. I remember when he went publicly and attacked my father. I was single at the time, in the front page of the newspaper, for something that he knew was a claim that was absolutely insignificant and not true at all, and he knew that it wasn't true, and he was blowing it out of proportion for no good reason other than to try and destroy Rav Schechter. And we all knew that. I remember this happened. My father is such a tzaddik, it didn't bother him whatsoever. He just let it slide, and he was upset while we were bothered by it. I remember a few weeks later, this person sent my parents an email and wrote that he wants to ask Mechila for attacking my father publicly in the front page of the newspaper. How can I do such a thing? I feel so terrible. I attacked Rav Schechter. I was mevaza him like that. And he sent my parents an email asking for their forgiveness. And I was livid. How does a person go and write a front page news item attacking another human being, let alone Rav Schechter, which means when you attack him, you're attacking all of his Talmidim all over the world and basically every Rav of every modern Orthodox community who is influenced by my father is also part of that attack. So you get up and you do such a thing, then you send a private letter asking mechila. So I was in the middle of writing an email back to the person. You want to really ask mechila? Write the email that you just sent in the same front page of the paper that you printed the first letter. Says the Rambam. How many times, let's say you really try and destroy a person and you do something that is so horrible, says the Rambam, how many times do you need to ask the mechila before you say, look, if they're not nochel me, it's not my problem anymore. Now the Rambam says when we're dealing with a Talmud Chacham, it's a different story. It happens to be my father's mochel everybody, he doesn't care. I'm not saying that anybody should go ahead and do it. The Gemara says somebody who is mevaza Talmud Chacham, it's not such great things are waiting for you up in heaven. But whatever it is, how many times when we're dealing with a regular person, how many times do I have to ask mechila? Says the Gemara, al yivakish mimenu yoser mishalosh pa'amim. All you need to do is three times. That's the maximum. I don't have to put myself out time and again, keep going back to him, going back again. That's not my obligation. Three times is sufficient, says the Rambam. What happens if after three times the person does not want to accept the tshuva because you really hurt me? You really destroyed my parnasa. Because of this, I was let off of my job and I was thrown into jail for the night. They thought that I abused someone. They thought I did this and that, whatever it may have been. Sometimes you have these stories. A kid makes up, fabricates a story and says that a teacher abused him. And later on, the kid comes out and says, oh, the whole thing was made up. I was trying to make a joke. Well, what happened in the interim? You destroyed my family. You destroyed my marriage. Everything goes wrong. I was laid off of my job. I'll never get a job again. Look what can happen. Devastating consequences. How many times do I have to ask mechila? Says the Rambam, three times. Now writes the Rambam, lo rotza chaveiro limchalo. What if now, after three times, the tshuva is still not accepted? Maybe lo shura shogimel b'nei adam, you bring a line of people umevakshim imenu, and they go and they ask on your behalf. Then, if that doesn't work, you send the second group of people another day, and then a third group of people. Lo ratza, if after all of those efforts, the person still does not want to accept the tshuva that is being offered, manicha v'holach lo, that's it. V'zeh shalom machal, says the Rambam, now we turn the tables. Zeh shalom machal, he who chooses not to forgive the other person, hu hachote, says the Rambam, you are now the one in the wrong. You got to learn to get over things in life. You got to learn to get over it. Says the Rambam, if somebody comes three times and they send three groups of people to come and speak to you, it doesn't mean three times in a row, three different times in your life, and yet you're not willing to accept the tshuva, says the Rambam, we turn around at you and we say, hu hachote. Now you're the one who's wrong because you should accept the tshuva. So much so that the Pri Chadash writes in Hilchos Yom Kippur that after you ask three times and then you experience Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur will take care of it. Even if your friend did not want to accept your tshuva, Yom Kippur will take care of it. Why? How do we know that? Because you look back at the very first Mishnah that we started with, which is number Beis, and it says, Avero shebein Adam lachavero. When you have an Avero that was violated, which is bein Adam lachavero in its nature, Ein Yom HaKippur mechaper, Yom Kippur is not able to take care of it. Ad, until what? What is the word of the Mishnah? Sheyirat says chavero, that means, until I go and do what I'm supposed to do. Says the Pri Chadash, it doesn't say, ad shechavero yisratze mimenu. It doesn't say until he accepts it. It says until I do my job. My job is to put myself forth with sincerity, to be real about it, to say I want to repair the relationship, to go ahead and be forthcoming, to put myself out as much as I can. He doesn't want to accept it. What can I do? At a certain point, I have to say, you know what? I tried. I did whatever I could. Says the Pri Chadash, that's what the Mishnah means. Ad sheyiratze es chavero means until I go and I attempt to repair our relationship. If he doesn't want to accept, so too bad. What can I do? I got to a point where I cannot help myself any longer. Now, what you see from this is that the nature of the tshuva process is not simply that I have to repair my relationship with the other person. Part of the act of tshuva is that I have to feel humiliated, that I have to be mashpil es atzmi, that I have to feel a little bit humbled by the process. So I go out and I beg my friend to be mochel me. And I go and I beg him again. And I go and I beg him a third time. I put myself out, I've humiliated myself, I have shown that I'm sincere about it. That's the real process of tshuva, says the Rambam. That's really what tshuva is all about. And he brings a raya, the Achronim bring a raya from the Gemara. The Gemara says a story, a very strange story, number Ches, about Rav. Rav had some issue with the local butcher. And the Gemara says that the butcher was Mevazeh Rav, and Rav was a big tzaddik, he didn't mind, it was okay with him. And Rav said, you know what, I want this person to get a mechila. I want this butcher to ask for mechila, this way he won't be punished on my behalf. I don't want him to suffer because of what he did to me. So Rav goes on Erev Yom Kippur, keeps walking by the butcher shop, and he wants that the butcher should realize, oh, obviously Rav is here, it's Erev Yom Kippur, let me go ask him mechila, he's making it so easy for me. And it says that the butcher ignores him, and he ignores him, and he ignores him, and he doesn't ask mechila, and then something terrible happened to the butcher. So the Mefarshim ask, I don't understand. If Rav wanted to help the person out, if Rav wanted to make sure that he's not going to suffer on behalf of what he did to me because of what he hurt me, so Rav should have just gotten up in public and said, I'm Mocha the butcher. I'm sorry, I don't want him to be punished because of what he did to me. It really didn't bother me. I'm Mocha him. I hope this Yom Kippur he has a good year and nothing to worry about. He shouldn't be punished as a result of our issue that we have between ourselves. How come Rav didn't do that? If Rav was really such a tzaddik, and Rav doesn't want the man to suffer, the best way to do that is to get up and say, I'm mochel him. And the answer is, obviously, you see from the Gemara that that would not be sufficient. Because part of the process of tshuva, when you violate an avera shebein adam lachavero, part of the process of tshuva is that I have to put myself out, that I have to be willing to humiliate myself a little bit. I have to humble myself a little and realize I did something wrong and there's a consequence to that. Yes, it's going to be embarrassing when I go and I ask mechila from someone. That's part of the process. That's what's necessary. And Rav said, it's not good enough if I stand in front of the store and I say, I'm mochel you. He needs to come out. He needs to say it. He needs to feel humiliated by the process of tshuva. He needs to go through the motion. And if he doesn't do that, his tshuva is never going to be a complete tshuva. As much as I might say, I don't want him to suffer on my behalf. As much as I might say, I'm mochel him, he needs to be the one to initiate. He needs to be the one to say that he feels sorry for what it is that he did. We don't have enough time. We're going to stop here. But if you look at the next entry, you can read it on your own. There's a very famous dispute between Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and the Chafetz Chaim. And this is a dispute in general. For example, unfortunately, many of us speak Lashon Hara. Myself, I am one of the horrible violators of the Yisrael Lashon Hara, unfortunately. But the Achronim have a disagreement about how one should do tshuva for speaking Lashon Hara. So what happens? I go and I slander somebody else. I talk negatively about them. So now Erev Yom Kippur comes, and I'm going to have to go back to that friend and say, by the way, I feel terrible for what I said, but you should know, it's such a juicy piece of Lashon Hara. Listen to what I said about you. Imagine how the person's going to feel. So am I helping myself, or am I making the situation worse? Now I approach the person, I say, this is what I said. I want you to know I said it to this one, that one, and the other one, and now they know the real story about you, and I'd like you to know, I feel terrible about it, but that's what happened. I'm sorry. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, you're only going to make things worse by asking mechila from the person. It doesn't help by asking mechila. And therefore, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, there's no way to do tshuva for such an avera. No way to do tshuva. Why? Because you don't have a right to go and humiliate someone further just to take care of the tshuva that you have to take care of. Just because you have a private issue that gives you a right to go and humiliate somebody else, you did an avera, you spoke Lashon Hara, the other person now is affected by what you did, but they don't know about it. And now as a result of them not knowing, if you go and expose the secret of what you said about them, it's going to make them feel worse, says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Too bad. Too bad you don't have a right to do tshuva when it means hurting somebody else's feelings and making them feel worse. An amazing insight of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And the Chafetz Chaim said he thinks that that's unacceptable. How can you tell me that a person violates an aver and there's no way to do tshuva? It doesn't make sense. So the Chafetz Chaim says, it depends. Maybe in such a case, you don't actually have to go to the person, because if it's going to humiliate them further, maybe it's not worth it. Maybe that takes away from the whole objective of what you're trying to accomplish. So this is a very fascinating discussion that you'll see in the next entry there. You can read it on your own. Very interesting discussion about how do we actually take care of mitzvah shebein adam lachavero that the other party might not even know about. And if I go and I expose the secret of what it is that I said about them, it's going to make the situation 10 times worse, and they're going to be more upset and more embarrassed, more humiliated. What should I do in a situation like that? That's a very interesting machlokas achronim, as we said. But basically, as we go into Chodesh Elul, we need to start thinking about the process of tshuva, not only for the mitzvah shebein adam lamakom, but also for the mitzvah shebein adam lachavero. As we see, there are some very, very important aspects of tshuva that one needs to be aware of, and everybody has to think for themselves what it is that they can do to try and repair not only the relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, but the relationship that we need to have with other human beings that we may have hurt, that we may have damaged throughout the course of the year as well.